This man is notorious in MMA. Get ready to be insulted. The majority of his teammates, he had a professional fight record of 16 wins with 11 defeats, fighting on UFC Fight Night in Rotterdam. We're delighted to have Neil Two Tap Siri on the show. So, Neil, welcome along to Obviously Fight Talk.
Thanks for having me, lads.
We're delighted to get you in, Neil, because as I was saying there, you're well known in the circles here, and everyone has been watching the vlogs of you here. We've sort of went through them again to recap. So the only thing is, you've almost put evidence out there of bullying in the vlogs. poor Matthew that you work with. Bullying. Go on.
It's not bullying. It's good natured banter.
I have to say, the two highlights for me from them was when you got Matthew down to do push ups, took his hood up, and threw a bucket of water over him. So that probably won it for me, closely followed by your right said Fred comment, and then just as you're walking away, you gimp. Two of my favourite moments from the vlog.
Good fun.
But now onto the serious. You're obviously fighting next week. So how's everything going in the lead up to the fight, preparation wise? I was reading Stephen Lowry turned around and tweeted there or Facebooked a couple of weeks ago that he's never seen you looking more determined. You're not looking past your next opponent, but you know you're basically Demetrius Johnson is the target. So how's things leading up to this one? Are at and different?
Whatever Lowry says is a fucking lie. Don't believe a thing that fucking animal tweets. He only does that to get retweets. And his blogs are shite. Do you ever see his blogs?
Is there a direct competition there with the vlogs, is there?
No, he'd just be painting houses in fucking fast forward mode. He's a fucking stink bomb. Don't be minding him. Things have been going pretty good, you know. I've been flying and training. Everything's gone right for me. I've done the right amount of training. I just have a week now. I'm just cutting a bit of weight, and I should be good to go on Sunday night this time next week.
And again, yeah, obviously the opponent Horiguchi is a big. Probably a lot of people would say it's your biggest challenge as of yet. We were talking last week about the fight, and I mentioned that you know a win here definitely puts you in the title contention talk. Has to. As in he went the distance and was tapped out with 2 seconds I think
ranked
to go.
Number five at the moment.
Yeah, so this is a big shot and it'll open up the division for you. So what do you see yourself in your opponent? Is there any way you want to see the fight going?
It's obviously hard to judge what way the fight's going to go, you know, because the fighter himself is so elusive, he's so quick. His ring knowledge is really good, the way he moves around, you know. He's constantly in and out. He's got a good gas tank, he's shown. He went 5 rounds with Demetrius Johnson, which we've seen, obviously, last week when he fought Henry Cejudo, which isn't an easy task to do, you know. So, basically what I can do, obviously, to win the fight is I'm going to have to be at my best, you know. I'm going to have to just get in there and just more or less make it an out-and-out brawl, you know, to make him come and make him swing, make him miss, try make him pay, because he is he's a very quick fighter and he's hard to hit, you know.
You said that we obviously know he's a very well-rounded fighter, but you see any hold in his game at all?
It's very hard to judge off the holds in his games. His last fight, when he fought Demetrius Johnson, he got taken down a couple of times, you know, and he was put on his back and beaten up, but then he managed to get back to his feet and back in and strike, you know. So he doesn't really have many holds in this game. Demetrius Johnson, obviously we've seen, has put Olympic wrestler on his arse and finished him off with knees and stuff like that, you know. So off that fight, you can't really judge him. He came back out for Chico Camas and, you know, he had a super fight with him in his last outing. So there's not really much holds in his games, you know, in his game.
And what is the game plan then, Neil? Obviously, like, I know in your last fight in Dublin, you were shouting out to the crowd that, you know, I do this for yous and you love it. And you could tell, I didn't get to go to it, but watching it at home.
You missed out.
Yeah, well, I was at the last one before in Dublin. Ha ha.
You were at the United game.
I wasn't now. I was filming Don't Tell the Bride and I wasn't allowed to go. So I wasn't there, but the lads were, and yeah, they were telling the reception again. It was like that. The fight previous was the McGregor-Brandao fight where you fought and you won. And again, you could see is it the home atmosphere must be something like fighting in the Three Arena, the Point Depot. It must be something. It must just give you that extra energy, does it?
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, obviously the Irish fans are second to none on any sport we do. You know, all you have to do is look at any out in the Irish fans manage to get. They always put on a great atmosphere. We're loved all over the world, you know, and it's great to actually fight in Dublin. I got to fight here, obviously, in the Three Arena. It's the third time fighting there. You know, obviously, twice with the UFC. And it's always great. It's probably be a top memory when I retire. You know, I'll get to look back at stuff like that. Not many people have got to do. We got to do it twice, you know, so it's just a brilliant atmosphere, and it was a great night for the Irish.
Yeah, you were talking about there, Neil, the atmosphere and the point. When you were fighting, it was Phil Harris, when you were throwing kicks in that fight, we were in the audience, we were jarred up to the tits, drinking, and every time you threw a kick, everybody was just fucking going, wee, did that make you want to throw more kicks?
Yeah, I don't maybe want to kick him over the octagon. But it was brilliant. I tell you, when you look back on the DVD or on Fight Pass and stuff like that, you know, you actually pick out stuff like that. When you're in there fighting, it's very hard to actually hear all that. You know, I obviously heard them when I was kicking that time, but other than that, you don't really hear much else. You know, you're that focused on the opponent in front of you. You know, and when you look back on it, it's unbelievable. You know, it's brilliant.
Yeah, this time around, it's over in Rotterdam. Do you have many friends and family heading over to Rotterdam for this one?
No one. They're all too much stoners, I'd say. I don't think anybody would make it here. They'd be all out of their heads.
That's what I said when it was announced in Rotterdam. I says, do they know what they're doing here? When are you flying out? When are you flying out, Neil?
Do you know what? I only found out today that it was Tuesday. I was planning on going to the airport Wednesday. I had everything set on Wednesday, and someone says, no, you're going Tuesday. And then I checked out everything back, and I was like, oh, fuck, I am going Tuesday, you know. So it's just as well I took playing Tuesday off work, isn't it?
When you got over there, obviously, this is pretty much in the news a lot, press conferences and media duties. Did you get your extra €30 a week diesel money, number one? And then then number two, do you have much to do when you get over there with the media wise? Is it a hindrance, and is it that much?
No, I don't mind it, actually. Because when you're lower down the card, no one really gives a fuck about you, you know, so not many people want to talk to you, and which suits me. I don't give a fuck, really, who wants to talk to me, but the €30 diesel money is not a fucking chance. It's probably lucky to get a job.
Speaking about being lower down the card, Do you have a problem with being that low on the card, considering like Horiguchi recently fought for a title and you have a big following yourself? Do you take offence to that at all, like that the UFC put you that far down on the card?
No, people always ask me the same question, and they're always online saying, why is Siri not a main card? To be honest, I don't give a fuck. You know, I honestly don't care. If you ask me to go out and fight first, no problem, I'll go out and fight first. It doesn't bother me whatsoever, you know. As for Horiguchi now, probably hinder him a little bit, because obviously he fought for a title, he was main event and stuff like that, you know. But as for me, I honestly don't give a rat's arse where I am on the card. It's either way, whether you're fighting first or last, you're still fighting, you know. So that's all that really matters, you know.
Yeah, and with a win over Horiguchi, obviously he's top five now. When you first went to the UFC, or you got signed to the UFC, you didn't really talk about title shots or anything like that. Do you think that with a win over Horiguchi, you'd be looking for, you know, a top 2-3 fighter next?
No, not really. You know, we'll see how it goes. To be honest with you, it's just one of them things. I was offered this fight was surprised they got offered the fight. I thought Horiguchi would have been looking for a bigger name, obviously, in the top 10. I'm not even in the rankings, you know. So was it a case that somebody, people didn't want to fight Horiguchi? It's probably the case, you know, because he's so elusive, he's so quick on his feet. He's a bad matchup for anybody. So I was very surprised to get the fight in the first place. So when I saw it for the UFC, you know, we've said on many interviews that we'd never turn down a fight from anybody, and that's exactly what I've done. You know, there's no point in saying that you fight anybody in division and then when they offer you, turn it down, you know. So I just asked who it was, Horiguchi. I was surprised that it was him because he's so highly ranked, and just went along with things, you know. Fuck it.
Well, you use an MMA mats, which is obviously it works every time. MMA mats. You fought Brad Pickett on short notice. Brad Pickett beat Demetrius Johnson. Demetrius Johnson beat Horiguchi. So clearly you're going to win the fight in that sense. But do you honestly, like, in a way, like, using that, like, we had Brad on the show here a couple of weeks ago when he spoke about when you was fought, and that when he went to the UFC when he seen you putting your name in the hat and said, yeah, let's do that fight, it's a great fight. And he was sort of saying the UFC were a bit laid back in it, but then when he got in there, like, oh, he said it to Brad, so it's not like we're saying it because you were here. It's the only time I didn't cheer for Brad Pickett when he was fighting you. And I honestly thought in a full camp that's a different fight completely. Your first fight in the UFC to step up in short notice and take on Pickett, but the fact that you've been in there with him, who's been in there with him, who's beating him, if you know what I mean. Do you honestly, is that just a stupid sort of angle to come in it, or because you shared the cage with a fighter who's beating the man, who's beating the man?
No, I'm just going to put it to you now, it's a stupid fucking angle.
And it took me so long to get it out of it.
Yeah. You're looking at the things too much, for fuck's sake. I think you need to change your job sense. You know what's going on. No. No, I don't look at the shit like that, you know, because obviously when I turned up to fight Brad Pickett, it was a different type of fight. I never thought Brad was a flyweight, to be honest, you know. I always thought he was too big for a flyweight. He dropped, when I seen him there that night, I weighed in and I felt like I could have just pushed him over. And I could have won, you know. When he was weighing in, he was that bad, you know. He obviously come down to go for a title challenge. It didn't work out for him, he's gone back up. But it just depends on the night, you know what I mean. Everything has to be right on the night. You have to have the right warm up, you have to have the right people around you. If you don't have that around you, you know, things can go really wrong on the night, you know. So I had a good warm up. I had a good obviously 2 weeks when I'm always in the gym when I fought Bob Pickett. I had a good warm-up with good people around me, and I was just delighted to get on a big card like that. Well, who wouldn't want to fight going out into the O2, you know? And I was just full of life that night, you know, and I walked off. Even though I lost the fight, I gained a lot of fans, you know? Yeah. Some things that I hadn't had previous to that, you know? I've been fighting a long time, and I'd have, obviously, fuck all the followers and stuff like that through the Cage Warrior scene. And even when I won the world title, everybody was writing me off. It was no use. I'm not good enough to go to the UFC. I go up to the UFC, and I stand with one of the probably pound-for-pound boxers in the division at the time, and I had no problems there, you know. But different people have different opponents, you know what I mean, bring different problems, and Horiguchi is going to bring a lot of problems that I don't think I've seen before. As in, I've trained with a lot of the likes of boxers and good jiu-jitsu fellas and good wrestlers, but he brings something different than the way he throws his shots and the way he moves, you know.
And what's the plan in a way? Is it to stay on the inside or to stay completely out of kicking range, or is it to, as you said, turn into a bit of a brawl, but by doing that, are you going to try and get in on the inside and make it a dirty fight?
Well, I believe I have to, you know. I don't think I can take the centre of the octagon and just let him shoot in and shoot out, you know. I'd be probably a bit stupid to do like that, to do stuff like that, you know. I'm obviously letting him run, dictate the fight pace then, you know. I just got to do what I always do, you know. I always just constantly march forward and try finish people. Whether it goes 15 minutes or I get an opportunity to finish them, or or whatever happens in the fight, I constantly am looking for a finish. You know, most times it doesn't come off because obviously the fighters obviously when you're going up the rankings are getting a lot quicker, a lot better, they're better at stuff like that. You know, so I'm just gonna go in and try fight my fight. You know, and everybody knows what my fight is. My fight is just keep fighting until I'm told to stop, you know.
And you were supposed to be joined by another Irishman on the card. Unfortunately, you got a bit of bad news and you had to drop out, Paddy Houlihan. Do you have any words for Paddy?
Yeah, well, I sent Paddy a text there, you know. He was obviously taking the piss as well, but that's just me, you know what I mean? I try lighting things up. It's not all down for Paddy, you know. By no sense is it all doom and gloom for Paddy here. He's competed on the Irish scene and obviously made it to the UFC and represented his country, and he done the walk out in Dublin and twice. Obviously, he got beaten by Louis Smoker the last time. But I also got beaten by Louis Smoker. It's no shame to be beaten by a talented fighter like that, you know. But Paddy had a great career. You know, it's after coming to an end. It's obviously before its time, but that's just the way it is. You know, we can't crib or cry. We can't change yesterday. That's done. Obviously, he's got to move on to other things. He's opening a gym in Tallaght, and the best of luck to him. Paddy's a nice lad, and I reckon he's going to be a fantastic coach.
Yeah, definitely, I agree with you there. I seen your thing was, you said something like, I seen you as a skinny little red bollocks turn into a skinny little red bollocks or something, something along that one.
You know, you have to lighten the moods, yeah. On things like that, you know what I mean? It's not all doom and gloom. Nobody's dead here. Nobody's. Yeah. It's just one door closed, you know what I mean? Another one opens, you know? And it's unfortunate, but it'd be good for Paddy in the end.
And what about yourself, you won't mind me saying, you're getting to probably the latter stages of your career. What's the plans for after the UFC and after fighting? Do you think you're going to start up a reality show on MTV with the lads in work? Or?
Well, they should fuck me into the jungle or something.
I'd actually love to see that.
We'll get in contact with them and get you on the jungle.
Yeah.
They probably fuck me as an anteater or something. They know what I
mean. To bring it into a little bit of a different domain, we know you're an absolute wind-up merchant on Facebook, and poor Johnny Jitu gets the blunt force of it a lot of the time.
Come on now, he deserves it. Come on now. Agree with me, lads. Come on.
Well, I had to laugh because we had Johnny on here. It was 3 or 4 weeks ago. Johnny came on and he was fighting Will Flurry in Battle Zone, and then of course, you being you, the same way you done it to Chris Fields after Chris got tapped out by the triangle choke. He just literally gave him death. So to be around you, you have to have thick skin, I think, is the joy of it. But I want to ask you about one question, actually. In the parade, I think it was the 1916 parade, wasn't it? And there you were, jogging up the middle of the road. Yeah. What happened there? How did you even get through there?
Do you know, it's fucked up how that happened, because I was downstairs watching the telly, and all these fucking... The march was on in town, and all these government faces were there waving and smiling and waving. I fucking can't stand them. So I'm giving out to the telly, and my wife just says, "Here, will you get the fuck out of here? You're doing me head in, basically." So I says, "Right, you go." I went on a run. I took the dog and I head down the canal like I do all the time. I go into the canal and I come out with the part of the house and the ground boy. The graveyard, Glasnevin. So I'm coming down the canal, gets to the end of it, and I'm looking and going, "Oh, bollocks, there's a big fucking march." And I had the dog and I said, "I'll be bollocks, I'm not going back up the fucking back up the canal." So we said, "Right, fuck it." The muzzle off the dog at the time, because it was warm as fuck out. So I run out into the crowd and the dog starts but there was some woman there with a Jack Russell, and the Jack Russell locked onto the dog's harness, and I was still running, and the Jack Russell was stuck to me, and the woman is screaming. She's screaming, and everybody stops, and the fucker, I was all bollocks to this, you know. So the Jack Russell ends up letting go. I put the muzzle on the dog, and I said, "Right, fuck, I have to sprint ahead of all these," because the dog was going bananas. And as I was sprinting, the top of the parade, I turned the corner and there was some fucking, I don't know who the fuck it was, but a cow. I said, oh no, bollocks to that. And then next of all, I was famous for 1916 running from the police. I'm doing it all my life, running from the police.
To move on to another one of your passions as well, we'll bring them up. Your love and support for Liverpool Football Club.
Up the pill.
I can't remember the result today.
Yeah, fuck off today.
But is next year Liverpool's year? Is Clippity Klopp the man with the job?
Oh, Clippity Klopp's the man with the job. Next year is our year. You know that. Every year is our year. It's fucking. Put it this way, lads, right? And I'm going to give it to you now, right? Liverpool are going to qualify for the Champions League by winning the Europa League. They're going to fuck United off fourth spot, and then just can all go and fuck off.
Yeah, that's it.
I said that in Walkabout 3 weeks ago. I says the way it's going, Liverpool are going to win the fucking Europa League and screw United for fucking. Because City will probably win the Champions League, so we'll get fourth, we'll get fifth spot, and then Liverpool will rob it by winning the Europa League. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They win the Europa League. But you know what? Could be worse because you could be a Leeds fan.
Very true.
Robert's a Leeds fan, just in case you didn't know.
He's a scumbag, I'm surrounded by him. Listen, Neil, we'll let you go and we appreciate you coming on and best of luck in Rotterdam. We're all going to be rooting for you and cheering you on. Get it done, and second round TKO would do me a nice little number in the bookies if you don't mind.
It do fucking me as well. If I'm fucking you.
So don't be fucking greedy and stretch it out to a decision, right? Get a TKO in the second round.
Hello, lads. Fair play.
Go on.
Cheers, man.
See you later. Thanks, mate.
Good luck. Bye.